The Syrian refugee crisis is worsening as tens of thousands of people flee the fighting in Syria each week to neighbouring countries. Many of the refugees face appalling conditions in their host countries, who are struggling to cope with this sudden large influx of Syrians. But what kind of experiences have these refugees come from in their war-torn homeland? How traumatised are they, and how do they see their future? Laura Sheehan is a communications officer for Caritas Internationalis, who has just returned from a tour of Jordan and Lebanon, where she met and talked to many of the Syrian refugees who have been hosted in these two countries. She told me more about their plight.
The Syrian refugee crisis has gotten much worse in the past month. The influx has been much greater, and Caritas is working hard to keep up with the flood of people pouring in, but it's been very hard on the refugees and on the people who are trying to serve them.
Do you have any idea, in fact, how many have fled, say, in the last month?
The official numbers from UNHCR are 120,000, actually above that. But there are so many people who do not register with UNHCR, so the actual numbers are much, much higher.
And which of the neighbouring countries is getting the most refugees right now?
From what I've seen, it's almost equally divided between Jordan, Lebanon and Turkey. That might have changed in the past few weeks a little.
Okay, now you've just come back from a fact-finding trip to both Jordan and Lebanon. What kind of living conditions do they face there? Can you give us maybe the best and the worst?
Best case scenario is that a Syrian refugee family, let's say a smaller family of five people, would have their own apartment, usually just one room, perhaps somewhere in Beirut, for example. It would have running water, it would have electricity, and they might have some mattresses and blankets. That would be the best case. The worst case scenario is a very large family, very large extended family, living in a tent made of pieces of cloth sewn together near a border area with Syria, with absolutely nothing, no electricity, just nothing there.
And you say they've got nothing, no running water. So who is helping them apart from Caritas?
The Refugee Department of the United Nations is helping them. Other charities are helping them, Islamic charities. So there are a lot of people out there trying to help, but it's a massive influx of people.
And what's the attitude like of the local population in these host countries towards the refugees? Is there some kind of resentment sometimes?
The attitude of the host communities really varies. I've heard very inspiring stories of host families, for example, a Lebanese family that's already poor, squeezing themselves into one room of their existing two-room apartment so that a large refugee family can be in the other room. There have been some stories of amazing kindness on the part of host families. At the same time, there is some resentment in other quarters. These are poor countries already. Jordan is a very poor country. Not enough jobs, you know, just not really enough to go around to begin with. They already have a lot of Iraqi refugees in Jordan. So the fact that these Syrian refugees are coming in has sparked some resentment in Jordan and other places.
Now, you talked about those worst case scenarios of some of the refugees living near the border area in tents, makeshift tents with no facilities. Are they getting the things they need to survive? You know, are they getting enough running water and food and medical care?
Well, for example, I talked with one family, and the teenage girl in the family walks for about 20 minutes to get water. A lot of these areas in Lebanon, for example, are farming areas. Food is out there. It's just a matter of being able to buy it, and a lot of these refugees simply cannot afford it. So Caritas is distributing boxes of food, basically food parcels. We're trying to reach as many hungry people as we can.
And are you getting enough donations to help care for them? Has the international community been responding with generosity to this, or has it not yet really woken up to the scale of the crisis?
People have been generous in responding. I don't think anyone expected it to get as bad as it has, especially the situation in July has created such a volume of refugees that we are going to need a lot more financial help and other help to meet the needs of these people.
And how traumatized are these Syrian refugees? Can you give us some examples, a brief anecdote that really sums up, you know, what they've been through?
I spoke with one woman, and one morning she wanted to go out and get milk for her children. She has five children. And her neighbor said, no, don't go. It's too dangerous. There are snipers. There's all sorts of danger out there. I'll go and get the milk. The neighbor went to get the milk, came back carrying it. He was shot by a sniper. She ran out to try and help him. She was shot in the leg by a sniper. Some help came, but they couldn't save the neighbor. He died of his wounds. She did recover because the bullet sort of went through her leg without hitting the bone. And this woman has epilepsy. Some of her children have epilepsy. So these are people who were poor to begin with. They've seen horrible things in their country that they never expected to see. One man said, "We've seen stuff we just never imagined seeing."
Such as?
One man told me, "We've seen things we've never seen before, like body parts of children scattered around."
On the ground?
Yeah. He didn't elaborate where the pieces were.
Obviously, they must be very worried and frightened about what's going on in their homeland. Are they also rather frightened, you know, to give their real names?
The refugees are very frightened about having their photos taken, about giving their names. They don't want to be identified. They've lived in a place where a lot of times different types of informing went on for years and years, even before this violence. They're afraid of what might happen if they're identified. Some of these people have been tortured in Syria. They've all pretty much run for their lives. So yeah, a lot of them are afraid.
You said that some of them have been tortured. How many did you meet that had had that experience?
I met one man who had been jailed and he had been tortured. He showed me his ankle. They had used some sort of electric stick or something to torture him.
And do most of them want to go back home at some stage?
The vast majority of Syrian refugees I met want to go back, and they think they'll go back soon. Many of them think they'll go back very soon, and I was surprised to hear that.
Can you tell me one anecdote that sums up for you the plight of these refugees, or on the other hand, a very inspirational story of how somebody triumphed against overwhelming odds?
What was inspiring to me was the fact that so many Syrian refugees were trying so hard to take care of their children, make sure their children were going to go to school soon. Other families, unfortunately, feel that their children have to work now because they just don't have enough money, so that's a school issue. Another thing that was inspiring to me was that Caritas is obviously helping people of any religion, any race, anyone in need. And so many people there were very grateful, and they just said, you know, we're being treated like human beings. So there was just a really good feeling of caring, and there was a good feeling when I talked to some of the people about how they had been given medical care by Caritas or the food they had received. We hear so much about religious tension and friction in the Middle East that it was really inspiring to see just people coming together and helping each other.
And how important is the role that Caritas is playing in providing aid and caring for these refugees? Or put it another way, if Caritas weren't there, what would things be like?
A lot of the Syrian refugees told me that if Caritas wasn't there, they don't know what they would have done. They don't know where they would have gotten food. They certainly don't know where they would have gotten certain types of medical care. Like any population, there are a lot of unique medical needs. There was, as I said, a woman with epilepsy. There was a young man with a certain blood disease. And Caritas is doing not just distributions of food and emergency items like blankets and diapers. Caritas is also providing dental care, doctor care. Caritas in Jordan is referring people to a hospital where they can get discounted or free medical care, including serious things like operations. So the refugees really would have been in trouble if Caritas hadn't been able to provide these things.
And are you finding that among these refugees there are quite a few Catholics?
I did meet some Christian Syrian refugees. The majority are not Christian, but everyone's suffering. No matter what religion you are, Syrians are suffering.
I was speaking to Laura Sheehan of Caritas Internationalis.